the ball every time.
This is Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet?
New consumer accounts only. Approval required. Terms apply. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Ramsey's will sell you a 2-carat diamond.
That's big.
For just $6,495.
$6,495, 2 carats.
You can choose between a 2-carat diamond from a diamond mine
or a 2-carat created diamond.
Compare them side by side, then make your choice.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
When the veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are they really?
I'm really not so good, but are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. Learn more at veteranscrisisline.net.
Hi, I'm Casey Gisclair.
And I'm Stan Gravois.
Join us every Saturday right here for the Sports Corner.
High school, college, and national sports.
Coaches and call-ins. And your take on our opinions in the world of sports.
So join us every Saturday from 10 to noon.
Right here on the Sports Corner, presented by TGMC Community Sports Institute.
10 to noon.
On ESPN 100.3.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM. KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Hour three of the Sports Hangover. We are off and running. Jordan Kleber, what are you chuckling about now? We haven't even started the show, Chuckles.
Jay Fallover on Twitter at ESPN Radio NOLA. Is it merely a coincidence that Breeze's career may have ended on GCAT's birthday?
Oh, come on.
No, it's not it's not a coincidence, it's the curse.
There is no way you are attaching that game to me. I can't do anything if the game was on my birthday. Stop it. Stop it.
Change your birthday.
Don't, you know. Stop it. You know what? No. You're not doing this. Jordan.
You cursed the day as soon as you came out
the womb. I did not curse him. I didn't curse the day. It's the greatest day ever. It's my birthday.
As soon as you came out.
Mari so lovingly told me that last night. The best day ever. About you? Know me? Ha ha. No carbon. See? I didn't look, again, I said this at the beginning of the show. I don't think, legitimately, I don't think Drew Brees was the reason this team lost the game.
No, it wasn't. It was you.
Stop it. Even though we had, yes, 3 interceptions in the game. All right. You know what? I'm not, stop it. Play it. Okay. I'm trying to add some humor to what, you know, it's that kind of day today. So we talked about it at the beginning of the show, and hour number one, your thoughts on Drew Brees, more than likely the last time, the point to his family, the kiss to his wife, the fist snap, as he said, to his sons. And then 2.5 hours outside, on the football field, throwing the football around. And like I said, I'm trying to come up with a better way to describe it. It just stinks. It just stinks that it went down that way. But when you look at the game, there were some things that happened on that. Turnovers obviously were big. This is what you had to say afterwards.
I'd say it's pretty uncharacteristic because we preach, you know, playing winning football, and you turn the ball over 4 times. So you're -4 total in the turnover ratio, then that's not winning football, especially in the playoffs, especially against a team like that.
So that's Drew on turnovers. And, of course, most of the questions last night was on him deciding to come back or not. Was this his last game?
Well, I'll answer this question one time, and that is that I'm going to give myself an opportunity to think about the season, think about a lot of things, just like I did last year, and make a decision.
What will go into his decision making?
I'll keep that to myself right now.
Okay. One final thing, and we'll go to Randy here. Was there regret coming back this season? Remember at the beginning of the season, he said he's coming back for one thing and one thing only, is to go to the Super Bowl.
Would never regret it. Never. No complaints, no regrets. Man, I've always tried to play this game with a great respect and a great reverence for it. And man, I appreciate all that this game has given to me. There are obviously so many incredible memories, so many incredible relationships that have come as a result of playing this game. And then you find out so much about yourself, and you have to fight through so much, you know, when you play this game. And I'd say this season probably had to fight through more than I've ever had to in any other season in my career. From injury to all the COVID stuff to just crazy circumstances. Man, it was worth every moment of it. Absolutely.
So there you go. Tough to hear that. Randy, thanks for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover.
Hey, what's up, Gus? What's up, Jordan? How y'all doing?
Doing well, man. How are you?
Nah, man, it sucks. I just wanted to say this, man. You know, y'all saying that y'all don't think that Drew Brees was the reason that we lost. Well, you know, I can kind of agree with that, but I mean, you know, two interceptions, yeah, costly interceptions, don't really help. But I'll say this: even if, you know, Jared Cook don't drop the, you know, well, I'm used to saying drop the ball because he never catches it. He finally does catch it, and look what he does. But you know, even if, you know, because I still say we win that game if Jared Cook don't fumble a ball. Because you could just tell on all the players, you know, faces, all the wind in that sail was just gone after that. I knew right then and there we lost the game. But, you know, even if, you know, he doesn't do that, we win the game, Drew Brees still ain't the reason we won. You know, I don't think. So, you know, looking at that, I say this, and I want to get y'all opinion. Do y'all really think Jared Cook don't drop that ball, we win, we're going to Green Bay next week? You really think that we had a legitimate shot to go to Lambeau in the snow and beat Green Bay?
I do. Okay, so here's why I say that, okay? I think the game was going in that direction. But you're just saying if the Saints win, would they have had a chance against Green Bay? I do. Mm-hmm. I think, because look, you watched the game yesterday, and there were some things the Saints did well, and there were some things that, look, I think facing a team a third time, you know that personnel a little bit better and things of that nature. And again, I go back to that first meeting, and if I just don't look at, well, it's going to be 19 degrees, fine. In that first meeting with the Packers, I would say the Saints are a little bit better since they were playing back then. You led at halftime. And then you had really that one quarter where you didn't do a good thing or two on offense, and then they scored. And then even still, it was tied up. The defense stopped them on fourth and one, and then Taysom Hill fumbled. But you had the ball with a chance to take the lead in the fourth quarter. So absolutely think you have a chance. You were the second seed for a reason. So I think you have a chance. But in playoff games, as you see, literally one play can change momentum, can turn things around. And I think they would have had a chance. Look, they play when it's colder than not in the 30s and 20s. Yeah, okay, they might have an advantage. When you're in a 19 and 15, it's cold to everybody. I mean, everyone's like, well, they're used to it. They don't practice in 15-degree weather. You're not outside. You might live in it. My sister lives in Burlington, Vermont. Most of the time in the winter, it's in the teens. And I And I've been there in January to celebrate our birthdays. Her son's a January birthday, her husband and me. And when we go there, it's cold. And we spend most of the time inside. Like, we get to the car, we run into the car, there's a heater, and then we get inside. We're not outside in the team, so it affects everybody when it's that cold. Sure, it might affect some things, but I think there was absolutely a chance. Like, I don't think we go up there next week and get waxed. I just don't.
Well, I'll say this. I mean, I kind of disagree with you, and I'm going to say this. That's is fine. Why. Because I think, I just say this because I've seen how Drew played in the Dome, you know. And this is the biggest thing why I think Drew's going to retire. I don't think he can't throw the ball 50, 60 yards. I don't think he ever really was able to. I mean, mm-hmm. He did it while he was younger. But if you remember, Drew used to be kind of the best at just buying time in the pocket. Sidestep, step up in the pocket. He can't even buy time for himself anymore. Man, it just looks like as soon as that rush is coming at him, what's Drew do? Puts his head down and just falls to the ground. It's kind of like you could just tell he's an older man playing a kid's game. And the thing is Tom Brady is a foot taller and doesn't have a rebuilt shoulder. So Drew really wins at the line of scrimmage. You know, he knows where he's going with the ball as soon, you know, before the ball snaps. So, but I just what I want to say, and I'll hang up and I'll listen because I'm.
Sure.
But you know, what's the deal? What's the deal with our $100 million receiver? You know, can't get open and has zero catches. It's like, hey, dude, you making $100 million, and you had just as many catches as I did, and I was sitting on my couch drinking a beer. Like, come on, man, that's ridiculous. Not one catch. I appreciate it, man. I'll be listening.
I hear you, man. It was tough to see that. They were being very physical at the line of scrimmage with him there. And, it's a playoff game. You can't have your number one receiver go catchless, right? I mean, it's tough to win games like that. Jack, thanks for giving the show a call, sir. What you got? Hello, Jack.
Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, man.
I got a question for you and Gus. I mean, for you and Jordan, I apologize. Mm-hmm. You know, throughout the entire offseason, you know, I've been calling in for about a year now saying, you know, we've been geared towards our drafts, trying to keep Drew Brees upright with Ruiz and McCoy. We're giving Andrus Pete $50 million. We're paying a wide receiver $100 million because he catches everything that's thrown to him. Was the juice worth the squeeze? That's really what it is.
Okay.
I understand Tom Brady. I mean, I understand Drew Brees has all these stats. In his last two playoff games, he has 5 turnovers, and he's averaging 170 yards passing. Okay? He has the same amount of passing touchdowns as his backup quarterback, but he has 73 more attempts in passing. I mean, Hill and Winston have the same amount of passing touchdowns as Drew Brees does at home playoff games. Tom Brady has been with the team for 9 months and came into Drew Brees' house of 15 years and has more wins in the Dome in the playoffs in the last two seasons than Brees does. So was it worth the squeeze? I understand he's got all these stats, but now that we're going to have all these cap problems and we're probably going to get rid of a big chunk of our team in the middle section of it, we're going to be 8-8, whatever it is, 7-9 for the next couple of years to get a quarterback and whatnot. And I understand, you know, Drew Brees is amazing and we had it good. I get that. But was it worth it? Because we could be on a rookie quarterback contract right now in year 3 with a rebuild compared to what we have going right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sick of it. The dude was 9-9 in his entire career. He made $200 million over the last decade and only has 4 playoff wins. Josh Allen this season has 2 playoff wins. I'm sick of it. Good riddance. I know he's a great man. I'm happy for him. He made a lot of money. He literally did nothing in the playoffs. He is the king of regular season stats. And like I said, I'm a diehard Saints fan. I love my team, but I'm sick of it. Good riddance. I mean, Winston had 41% of his passing yards yesterday, 1 attempt. You can't tell me we don't beat the Bucs if Winston plays that entire game. I understand it was a trick play. I'm just sick of it. Oh, I'm done, Gus. Thank God. Let's move on.
All right. Thank you for the phone call there. I think one of the things, man, that
you see, Jordan,
is there's a lot of people that sit there and this is a fair – I wouldn't call it criticism, but a fair observation or point to bring up, and that's valid. And I've asked you this before on the show as to at what point, you know, you look at an era and is it successful or more disappointment than not, you know, in terms of that. I mean, you've been to the postseason a lot and had been able to produce those wins. What's disappointing too, and you heard him bring it up in the stats there too, like the last three postseason games and losses have been at home. And again, I have nothing to argue with when you bring up the stats of did they perform or not, in particular him. One angry mention. What you got, sir?
It's not fair, Gus. It's a terrible observation. I'm going to tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
They're about the same age. Remember without a quarterback?
Said I got you broke
remember
up?
Remember what it was like?
Oh, before him?
I said, you and I are about the same
yeah.
age.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Remember what it was like without a quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
If Drew Brees was in a wheelchair tomorrow and wanted to roll to play in, I'm in. Because I remember 1-15. I remember the battle of the Billy Joes. I remember Keith Shuler and Collins getting drunk on bourbon. I remember all of those things.
Vodka Collins.
What you're hearing is entitled Saints fans who became fans at the age when kids become fans, but they don't remember. They don't remember 1-15.
Mm-hmm.
They don't remember how miserable it was to go decades without a quarterback. You want to know how lucky we are? Go look at somebody like Cincinnati who hasn't had a quarterback, and then they finally get one, and the guy blows out his knee. Go look at somebody like Cleveland that hasn't had a quarterback, and they finally get one. Go look at these teams that haven't had quarterbacks for decades. Mm-hmm. It is a miserable experience. God bless Buffalo. They finally got one. The last time they had one was the 90s. So, no, not a fair observation. If Drew Brees wants to play while in a wheelchair, I'm in. Because at least we have a quarterback that's competent enough to play the position. That's all I got.
One angry midget, thank you for the phone call. Look, I think when you look at, as well, the win-loss record, some of the totals, some of the criticism's fair. And at the other point, though, Jordan, for some reason, it wasn't just him that this team just failed to live up to their expectations in the postseason.
And real quickly before we hit the break, sure. It's something that we always talk about, and I think this, you know, is probably, him and Sean Payton, is going to be a disappointing time here in New Orleans more than failure. So I think it's going to be mainly looked at it from that perspective of they should have had more. But at the same time, you got to look at all the good times that you had, and you had the best opportunity to win with Drew Brees behind center.
No doubt. Sport Hangover continues next. Your phone calls. Marlins moving to 245, so another open segment if you want to chime in on the Sports Hangover. You've seen the difference, and it's
getting better all the time. Teaming up to create a healthier community, Coastal Broadcasting and Thibodaux Regional Medical Center present Health Watch.
It is estimated that over 1 million visits are made to emergency rooms each year for suspected concussion from youth sports. A concussion is a brain injury that occurs from a bump or a blow to the head.
If your child experiences a blow or bump to the head during sporting activity, look for the following observable signs. Appears dazed, seems confused, moves clumsily, slowed speech, loss of consciousness, personality change, or inability to recall events prior to or after the hit. Other symptoms experienced by the athlete may include headache, nausea, dizziness, blurred vision, sensitivity to light and noise, sluggish feeling, difficulty concentrating or remembering, confused, or feels out of sorts.
It is important to remember that a concussion is not always associated with a loss of consciousness.
Balance is a reflection of brain functionality. Experts assess an athlete's balance, including postural control and sway velocity. In addition to balance, memory skills, learning, and concentration are also assessed. Baseline testing, often used in professional and collegiate athletics, provides a preseason evaluation of an athlete's abilities. In the event of a concussion, results of a baseline test can be compared to the post-injury testing.
The Sports Medicine Center of Thibodaux Regional understands the importance of safety in athletics.
We utilize advanced concussion testing technology called the NeuroCom Balance Assessment System. NeuroCom provides medical experts the information needed for a more objective, accurate, conclusive, and quicker diagnosis of concussion for an athlete's safe return to competition. Testing is conducted at the Outpatient Rehabilitation Center within the Wellness Center of Thibodaux Regional. The baseline testing procedure is the same for all sports. One baseline test per year is recommended. Baseline testing is recommended for athletes of all ages who participate in contact sports. Baseline testing should occur preseason before practices begin. Cost for baseline testing is minimal. Concussion baseline testing is painless, non-invasive, and lasts approximately 10 minutes.
If you are interested in setting up a baseline concussion testing appointment or have questions about concussions, please call the Sports Medicine Center at 985-493-4502. 985-493-4502. Or www.thibodaux.com. www.thibodaux.com.
Health Watch is a presentation of Coastal Broadcasting and Thibodaux Regional Medical Center. For more information on the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodaux Regional, call 985-493-4502 or visit thibodaux.com.
Excited about a show where we just talk
sports.
That's how they talk in the major league.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Head coach Sean Payton after the game on the Bucks offense in the second half.
I think it kind of went back and forth. Obviously, later in the game with the lead, it became a little bit more challenging. You could definitely tell that they made that conscientious effort to run the ball, and they did a good job at times with that. I thought we did the same thing. But look, it's a good team, and I just finished telling DA, I thought defensively, you look at their first score, you know, if we look at drive starts, it was kind of the opposite of really the last game we played them in Tampa. You know, if you're going to look at where each team is starting with the football, it was kind of the tale of two different games.
Yeah, field position for sure. One of the things as we continue, 800-998-1003, if you'd like to chime into the conversation, feel free so. And Ndamukong Suh, the Bucks' D tackle, says they understood what the Saints wanted to do. Levante David also apparently was an unsung hero per Pewter Report. Moving people around, got everyone set and settled down. It leads to one, and look, again, this is a fair question and we can discuss in the coming days. In the four playoff losses, game plans, did you think that, I don't know, I didn't feel this game as much as the others where I ended the game going, I just don't care for what the Saints did on offense or on defense or game plan wise. Jordan, I don't really feel that. I know Brian and I were texting. He didn't care for the offensive game plan, but what could it have done different? I just literally looked at that game yesterday as they just didn't make plays.
Yeah,
they just didn't make plays. Like,
it's that,
you know,
simple.
I just look at it as some of the passes turned to incompletions. Michael Thomas was a non-factor. Did they make some adjustments? Sure, they were more aggressive now. How could you have adjusted? You adjust by, I said, Friday or Thursday. The tight ends have to be a factor. You have to get something out of your tight end. And look, it was the right play call, right? On third and short, on the slant to Cook, that's a first down. I mean, Breeze delivered the football accurately. I mean, I know he threw an interception in that first half, but the other two, you could argue he's trying to make something happen. The clock is ticking. You need to make some plays.
That one of them was on Cook. It was, I watched the replay.
I know. You're not going to let that
It go. Was through his hands, Gus. It was through his hands. There was no deflection. There was no blind spot that Cook couldn't see. It went right through his hands.
All right. One of the other elements, though, is, again, and this is what happens when you have him, though, but it's not like the Saints have been any different this year in not throwing the ball deep, Sean, after the game?
Yeah, well, we had some down the field throws, actually. You know, sometimes we're coming off to the underneath throws. You know, we had a couple double spears. And look, we made some plays down the field. Obviously, you know, not enough, but I don't think that was our issue. I thought we did a number of things well, and yet, you know, we just didn't have enough snaps and gave them some pretty good field.
I kind of feel like him. I don't look at the game and go, well, I didn't like this game. I mean, the first two drives in which I feel that they should have scored touchdowns. I mean, you got to score touchdowns on those two drives. You were gifted beautiful field position. I text you. I said that return gives you 3 points. That return by Deontay Harris gives you 3 points. You got to go get 7 somehow. But Jordan, they ran the football. I would have said this team needs to run the football. Troy Aikman said this is more of a running team. They did. They were ready for it. Again, that's why I opened up the show with the number one thing I said. I opened up the show and the number one thing I said, of all the things that stood out to me yesterday that was an impact, it was Devin bleeping White.
Yeah,
Devin White single-handedly impacted that game. And he was, you know, pounding Kamara behind the line of scrimmage or at the line of scrimmage. He literally took out Deontay Harris. He took him out on a screen pass, just pelayed him and hurt his neck. I mean, he got an interception. He had 10 solo of his 12. I mean, he single-handedly impacted the game.
Tampa Bay's offense did not impress me whatsoever throughout the entire game.
It's funny you say that because, Jordan, I don't think they did anything special.
There was only two passes that would have been huge for the Buccaneers.
That were shots.
And it was
exactly
Gronkowski that was overthrown by Tom Brady.
Yep.
And then the deep pass that wasn't completed. In the end zone. In the back, it wasn't to Evans.
Okay,
I'm talking about
the one that could have been a touchdown bomb.
Right.
They would have given him a 7-6 lead.
So I don't think Tom Brady did anything. I think Drew and Tom played, yeah, I think, kind of the same exact game. One just threw less picks, and the one's defense came up with bigger plays.
They both worked 20 yards and in. The Bucs' offense wasn't, it was quick slants, it was quick throws and things like that. The difference, and I hate to say this because it stinks, is I don't think it was one running back was more impactful than the other.
Leonard Fournette,
period. Like, Leonard Fournette was more impactful out of the backfield in the passing game than Alvin Kamara. And it's not because he's better.
I think at the right moment, I think Kamara at coming out of the second half, that was,
he was starting to get into it. Yes.
I thought that's when the game was completely changed. I thought the Saints were going to take
over. But I
set
out the backfield as a receiver, okay? Kamara had 20 yards on 3 receptions, along of 9, targeted 6 times. Fournette, 5 receptions on 6 targets, 44 yards, including a touchdown along of 14. Some of those were first down catches that he had. And again, what was the difference? The Saints had Anzalone on him, and Devin White was on Kamara. That's the difference. I'm watching that game yesterday, and I don't think Tampa did anything spectacular.
Nothing.
They made an adjustment or two, be closer at the line of scrimmage, which means you gotta either buy time, disrupt the timing, so you have to have better protection, or use your back. But when you can put one player at linebacker that can pressure the quarterback and stop a dynamic running back, that makes everybody else better. It's just failing to capitalize on the situations. And you know what? By not scoring those early touchdowns, you gave them belief. Rookies made plays for the Bucs yesterday. Rookies made plays. Why? They felt confident.
I mean,
there
was that huge third down, and I forgot, I think it was one of their rookies, wide receiver, and it was over the shoulder, and I remember Joe Buck saying it, man, that's one of the best catches that you'll see all year, where he's basically, two arm lengths away, and he makes a complete,
That was a terrible throw.
But they made more plays than the Saints did.
That's what I'm saying.
They capitalized on those momentum
plays. They just made more plays. You and I, in this segment, have gone over more plays that the Bucs did than the Saints made that game. That's what it just boils down to. So I understand the caller saying, well, Drew didn't do this and Drew. The Saints have failed to make plays in the postseason. Enough.
They failed to
capitalize
when they need to on big plays. That led up. So Deontay Harris,
The Bucs would have capitalized. They capitalized on every single one of their
interceptions.
Well,
every turnover was a touchdown. Sean Payton on Devin White.
He's a good football player. You know, he's both of those guys. He and Levante, man, you know, just like our guys, they're fast at the football. You know, you've got to account for him not only in the run game, but he's real good in coverage, and he's a good player.
Now, Sean was asked if he felt that they were targeting Anzalone. Again, never a good thing. And again, I'm not picking on the guy, but there was a reason this team went out and made a trade upgrade from him. Midseason. Coach, what do you have to say on it?
That wouldn't be accurate. I think that no one targets. I mean, there's a lot that goes into, you know, defending the run. And like I said, early on, man, we did that well. And then, just too many downs you're defending. I can't say that enough, but, that was not, you know, just one player. I think that would be, inaccurate.
Sean, on what the Bucs did differently, perhaps to Michael Thomas?
No, listen, you know, he drew the matchup, that we thought, and those guys competed, and, you know, unfortunately we didn't get enough attempts or enough balls his way, but that was part of the way that game was unfolding. We got a lot of man coverage and occasionally some zone. But, you know, when you get into these games, there really aren't that many surprises. It's more about the attention to details, you know, and it's guys going out and executing and doing all of those things and that's the frustrating thing about the turnovers. But there was nothing, you know, a lot of man coverage, which is what you get from Tampa.
But to your point, though, if that's the case, you got to beat your man coverage.
Well, and the Alex Anzalone thing, well, he did have a bad game, but where was Cam Jordan? Where was Marcus Davenport? Where was Trey Hendrickson?
Whoa.
I mean, the past two games, I mean, we're calling everyone out, huh? Get into the quarterback, and I didn't remember even touching Tom Brady in that game. Did we even get a knockdown on Tom Brady? Like, I'm genuinely asking. I don't think we got one knockdown on him.
You're still unhappy, aren't you?
I am unhappy. Because it sucks. Drew Brees is going out like that.
There were three quarterback hits, one by Cam Jordan, two by DeMario Davis, but just one by the D-line, to your point. And they rushed a lot of just four-man fronts. We'll be back. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the exciting adventure of the daily commute to the peace of mind that GEICO always has your back with 24/7 access to claim service and legendary customer service. But Pamela Mund had one reason in particular.
My skin is extremely averse to most fabrics, except for the soft, buttery feeling of leather. Thankfully, I found my clan of leather lovers in the biking community. It's been life-changing.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Welcome to AutoZone. Dealing with battery problems? We can help you out and get you ready for the colder weather ahead. Let's start with a free battery test. If you just need a free charge, we can help with that too. And if it's time for a new battery, we've got replacement batteries that fit your needs, starting at just $79.99. That's what makes us America's number one battery destination. Claim based on data from the NPD Group 2019.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Fact. Filing your taxes with TaxAct can feel like a cash explosion. That's because TaxAct helps you get your maximum refund guaranteed. And TaxAct costs 30% less than the big guys, which means more of this. So if you want a cash explosion of your own, switch to TaxAct. File for less and get more. Start for free at TaxAct.com. 30% less claim based on comparison of TurboTax and H&R Block federal pricing for deluxe and premier consumer online products on December 4th, 2020. Restrictions apply. See TaxAct.com for complete details.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Leo Haggerty's joined us all season long. We knew it, Leo. Beginning of the season when the Bucs went out and got Tom Brady, we kind of felt the Bucs and the Saints would be battling for the division. Sure enough, they meet in the postseason. And then last night, the Bucs behind Tom Brady and their defense, more importantly with Devin White. They win 30-20. I've said it. Look, I opened up the show, Leo. Devin White, to me, was the most impactful player on that field yesterday. He literally impacted that game more so than anybody else, man. He was something else.
Oh, absolutely. He was a game changer, no doubt about it. But Gus, the real thing, and you and I talked about this during the game, is the game was lost for the Saints in the first quarter. You can't get inside the 10-yard line and kick field goals. You got to get touchdowns. And if they'd have got touchdowns on those two drives, we're talking 30-28 now for a game. And now the Saints' mentality as to what they needed to do would change. But I tell you what, Devin White, he picks up the fumble. Okay, that's just right place and right time. That interception was outstanding. I mean, he just reached out, found a way to catch the ball, and it was obvious that whole second half that Drew Brees and most of the receivers were not on the same page. And how about Michael Thomas not getting a catch? That's what really I thought was the game changer on offense.
What did you see from a team that you cover throughout the season? Did they do anything differently? Like, I'm sitting here with Jordan today, and I'm trying to think, like, I didn't see anything spectacular in the offensive end. They worked inside of 20 yards. They took a shot or two. I thought Fournette was somebody that kept trying to feed out of the passing game. And defensively, I think the main adjustment that I saw was just press and man coverage. And in terms of just trying to be physical with Saints receivers and trying to disrupt that timing a bit.
Gus, you're right on. You're spot on. The Buccaneers secondary decided to play what we call single high. They put Winfield in the back, and they told the guys in front, jump the first move. Do not worry about a double move, because Drew Brees wants to get it out quick. So they took away that quick read, and now all of a sudden, Drew's got to hold the ball. And if he's got to hold the ball, there's problems, because now that rush is coming. And when you look at what the Saints tried to do, they tried to run basically a two high. Now, what that did was it took Mike Evans out of the game, but it kept Chris Godwin and the tight ends in, because now the middle of the field becomes open and the backs come in because the middle of the field is open. I thought the Buccaneers' strategy was to try and work the clock. They didn't want to give the ball to the Saints 10, 11, 12 times. So they were running the football, throwing the short passes. Every now and then they take a shot down the field. But it was just basically two good teams going at it. And, Gus, you can't beat anybody in the playoffs, turn it over four times. There's your bottom line.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, it's crazy when you look at it. There were several times in that game, Leo, two that really stand out to me where, and again, it's just what happens in the postseason in regular games, but specifically in the postseason. When Tampa goes for it, what, at the 35-yard line in the first quarter on 4th-and-1? And you know, it was a QB sneak, but that's a gutsy decision to do that early in the game. But you kind of sort of felt the Saints had some momentum there. And then later on, when Cook gets stripped for that ball, Saints, you know, had scored out of the break. They had punted after five plays. You feel at least a field goal is coming. You're about to cross the 50-yard line, maybe a touchdown. Saints could have been up 14 or 10 points.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, because here's the amazing thing. We're talking about in the first quarter on a 4th-and-1 going for it on your own 35. That's probably the second gustiest call of the whole weekend. How about Andy Reid rolling the dice with his backup quarterback on 4th-and-1 and throwing the ball on a rollout with Henny? I mean, that was amazing. But again, one thing you got to understand about Bruce Arians is mantra is no risk it, no biscuit. And he said he had two plays called in the huddle. One was a sneak and the other was a run. But he said it was up to Brady. He saw it. And one thing he saw with Brady, and I'm amazed the Saints didn't put five guys in each down, because that may have changed the entire dynamic. But, you know, there was a place for Brady to go. He just took it and went outside the guard and the tackle blocked down, and they got the first down. If they turn it over there, man, now you're looking at maybe being down at best 9-0 and at worst 13-0. That's not a good scenario. I don't care where you are.
Yeah, so it's nuts when you look at it like that because, again, that game could have gone either way in two moments or not, but you have to make plays. That's what it boils down to. And I had a caller earlier today, question and wonder, hey, could the Saints have gone next week and beaten Green Bay? Well, now the Bucs are going to get a chance to sort of do that. What say you? I look at Green Bay and even in that game there, and I mean, I don't think they're unbeatable, and everyone's going to bring up the cold, man. When it's 19 or 15 degrees with the wind chill and snow, it's cold for everybody.
Yeah, and you know what, Gus? I think the question should be asked, does Green Bay think they can beat the Bucs? They came into Tampa and just got demoralized. That game was over in the second quarter. Aaron Rodgers throws a pick six. They turn it over again inside the five, and it was ugly. You know how bad the Saints beat the Bucs on Monday night? That's how bad the Bucs beat the Packers. And I'll tell you what, Bruce Arians brought up a great point today, and so did Cameron Bray. You're only cold when you're on the sideline. When you're in the game, you're not cold because you're moving, you're going. The key is to stay warm on the sidelines. And I'll tell you what, they got enough parkas, they got enough heated benches that's going to happen. I think the big thing, Dustin, you hit it again on the head, is going to be Mother Nature. If there's snow, and if it's really cold, if we're down in the single digits, now you're talking about something that could be a factor.
Final thing for you, man. What do you think over the AFC matchup? Obviously, the Mahomes injury is a concern there as well. Bills kind of seem like that team that just keep gaining in confidence, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. They just get better and better and better. And, again, they're the team that travels well because they may be happy not to be playing at home with the weather because in Buffalo it changes in a hurry. Gus, I'm going to throw this out to you right now. And I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, but if all of a sudden Kansas City on Thursday has a COVID breakout and they have to move this game, that's probably because Pat Mahomes ain't off of the concussion protocol yet. And, that you know, just a couple people asked me why there wasn't a penalty on that. Well, once the quarterback goes over the line of scrimmage, he becomes a running back. So if he doesn't slide, he has the same problem as a running back. They can hit him, and they can hit him hard. And that's basically what happened. He got a couple yards over the line, and he was tackled. He was tackled hard. But I'll tell you what, Gus, when you look at these two games, they're really going to be fun to watch because you got Buffalo and you got Kansas City. You got the Bucs. You got Green Bay. Whether it's going to be a factor because you're in Kansas City and Green Bay. You've got the GOAT down here in Tom Brady, who just honestly he didn't have a good game. But the Bucs receivers bailed him out a lot, which was good. But I guess I'll wait till Friday to give you my thoughts on who wins and who loses. How's that sound?
I'm with you. I hear you, man. Leo Haggerty, as always. Appreciate the time, sir. We'll talk again later in the week.
Gus, you take care. And are you doing basketball again next weekend?
We don't play again until the 27th, man. So SMU opted out. That was going to be our lone game coming up. So we got a little bit before we play again.
All right, big boy. I'll talk to you then.
Sounds good. There he goes, Leo Haggerty. Jordan. I do want to play one thing that I found was interesting. And that was Devin White after the game talking about the Bucs' identity. This is what he had to say.
I mean, we had to look ourselves in the mirror. And, you know, we just had to challenge ourselves on who we wanted to be. You know, everybody always asked what was our identity. And, you know, we didn't have an answer. But Coach B.A., he had an answer. He said, we some who going to find a way to win the game. And that was the best thing that I ever heard. And when he said that, it kind of clicked.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. They came out to play yesterday, you know?
They really didn't.
You don't think so? On the defensive side, you don't think Devin White, I mean, he just seemed like he impacted a game, man, to me, really.
All right.
So you say really didn't. So you think this is more about the Saints' failure to do things than
the Saints lost because they were playing themselves in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, so you think this was a head issue?
Not the head issue, but I just think that when been saying phrase of the show. Couldn't capitalize on key momentum plays. And that's.
You're still angry, aren't you?
All that boils down to. Yeah, Jared Cook,
you're
I mean.
Still, you're still.
Well, hold on to the damn
speaking
ball.
Speaking of, as we go to Jack here, thank you for calling us here, Jack, on the Sports Hangover. Field Yates, tweet a little bit ago. Saints currently $276 million in cap commitments. If Breeze retires, $262.5. By the way, the salary cap's going to be less than what it was before, so they got some moves to make. Pending free agents include Trey Hendrickson, Marcus Williams, Jameis Winston, Sheldon Rankins, and Jared Cook. Jack, what you got?
Hey, Gus.
Yeah, man.
So I looked up, give you some stats here so you mm-hmm. think about it, okay? So Russell Wilson's record in the playoffs, 9-7, one Super Bowl win. Aaron Rodgers, 12-8, one Super Bowl win. Drew Brees, 9-9, one Super Bowl win. And then you got Brady. Obviously, we don't need to go through his numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the rest of the league, the stud quarterbacks, they're young guys that are more than likely to be great, you know, the Mahomes, the Jacksons, but they haven't done it long enough. So, you know, lay off them a little bit, you know? It's like not too shabby what these guys have done. I'm going to hang up and listen.
No, I look, it's not easy to do.
I mean, as you've seen from the Cleveland Browns, it's hard just even making the playoffs. I mean, it's been a while since the Browns even made it to the playoffs.
It's a poorly run organization.
It is, but I mean, it's hard to even make it to the playoffs for a lot of teams and do it consistently 4 years in a row. I mean, it's an accomplishment that if you're a Saints fan, you got to be proud of and just cherish those moments. Not the outcome that you wanted to see, but
okay. So remember, I gave you that number. Right now, they're at 276, 265 if Breeze retires. The projected salary cap floor, $175 million. This past season, 198. The Saints right now have cap commitments of 276. You know what that means, Jordan? Lots of
not good
cap casualty cost cutting. They're almost $100 million over the cut. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
The new year is here. Aside from thankfully saying goodbye to 2020, it's time to say goodbye to the old you as well. Hey everyone, it's Gus Kattengell from Men's Total Health. Last year, did you notice any physical changes in you? Reduced energy or libido, increased body fat, ED, brain fog? You know, it could be low T. If you're suffering from low T, you don't have to accept it. Hormone balance can help you be your best self. Improve quality of life and relationships. Visit menstotalhealth.net or call 504-777-7590 to schedule an appointment. They accept all major insurances and tell them you heard it on the Sports Hangover.
Fleet Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
Can we talk?
Talk sports.
Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengell.
Welcome back. Final segment. Marlon Favorite joins us here on this tough Monday, sir. How are you?
I'm good, Goose, baby. I'm feeling good. Yes, it is a tough Monday. We just finished with our training group out here. I had to work that one off, man, to get a workout to blow off some of that steam. Hello.
You know what, man? I'll say this, man. I like the attitude. I like the, you know, the emotion, the energy here. But I want you to bring this in, man. How difficult is this? I know today players cleaning out their locker rooms and stuff. How difficult is it when it's over? The finality of the season hits you and you didn't accomplish a goal that you really wanted.
It's a tough day, especially for the guys that don't have long contracts, because this is more than likely your last time with the team. And I saw what the Saints had tweeted, or CBS, someone had tweeted Drew Brees was like the last player, him and his family was the last player to leave the field, right, to kind of soak it all in for the last time. And him and Tom Brady had a moment, threw his kid a touchdown pass. And, you know, those emotions that go into it, you know, it really ignites in the fans, you know, how special Drew Brees was to the city. And, you know, for those players, this might have been their only shot. They may not be with the Saints next year. You don't know. Some guys might end up in Jacksonville or, you know, maybe with the Jets. You just never know where your contract takes you. So that one team was special, though, and they had a shot, but it's just unfortunate.
Take Me Inside the Trenches, the name of your podcast, but I know you also like to look in there as to why teams win and lose. Against the Bears, the Saints did really well inside the trenches. And against the Bucks in the first two games in the regular season, the Saints did so as well. Jordan kind of had a little fun with Cam Jordan and others. They kind of felt like they didn't get to Tom Brady yesterday, only three quarterback hits. What did you see the Bucks do on the offensive line differently to keep Tom Brady upright?
I thought they communicated well. I thought that they did combination blocks well, and they did all the things that you needed to do for an offensive line. I think Tom Brady put a fire under their tails. Might have been telling them all week, hey, guys, we played this team two times this year and they beat us. I'll be honest, that's on us. That's on the offense. And he's more than likely pointing elbows and toes at the offensive line. Having a rookie like Tristan Ripp, you know, this is his first playoff run. So he needed to mature fast. And being able to really give Tom a clean pocket. I thought that for the most part, leaving Leonard Fournette in as max protection, having your running back stay in and help, all of that really tied in. And Tom took shots down the field, man. The offensive line gave him enough time to really, he tried a lot of balls. I thought Marshawn Lattimore made an exceptional play to stop a touchdown with Mike Evans. So the offensive line allowed that. They didn't allow that last time. So I thought that was a unique piece, and there's much more that they could grow off of.
I think one of the things that I find interesting in games, how we talked about it today, Marlon, a game can really, the outcome can come on a play or two. As remarkable as it seems, that all those different snaps and how many minutes you have in four different quarters, but the inability to cash in early and settle for two field goals, them going for it, Marlon, in the first quarter, their 35-yard line on 4th-and-1, they felt like that game was going in the direction of the Saints. And then the Jared Cook fumble, you're up 7. You're about to cross the 50-yard line. It's the right play call. He's open. He goes down and gets tackled. Saints likely at least score 3, if not 7. You could be up 14 or 10 points. That game could be so different. It's nuts to really look at 3 moments in that game and think the Saints could have won it right there.
It's a lot of times we could have won it, especially that Jared Cook play. The young rookie, Winfield, had made an exceptional play on that play, making him force the fumble. Those were the turnovers that they needed. Being able to force Drew Brees into throwing those interceptions is 3 interceptions in a game. You know, that says a lot for a motivated quarterback. You know, we're talking about being able to have a guy end on a high note, and for the defense, a young defense, a young secondary, able to get out there. But you know, Gus, a lot of credit does go to the front 7 as well for Tampa Bay. I thought it was a lot of times, hey, that's 7 points right there on Pierre, Jean-Pierre don't trip Alvin Kamara, him in the safety. So you look at the little things that they did. It was a flag, but I don't think Coach Ty Bowles got mad at that. So you look at the little things that was done, and you pay attention on how they were able to make those little plays turn into big plays, and unfortunately, it hurt us.
Speaking of the Marlon Faye, right, a big Faye 504 is the way to follow on Twitter, Inside the Trenches, the podcast. How do you remember Drew Brees, man, if that was the last time you saw him play?
You had a guy that kind of, I mean, he went out swinging, right? Gus, you know, this football season was a long season, and even in the preseason, you know, the stuff we dealt with the social justice and, you know, Drew's initial stance on the flag, you know, all of that stuff kind of poured into the season a little bit, right? And he tried to fight that off a bit, you know, get some rapport back with the teammates. So I just look at a guy that went through the hills and the mountains in his last season. I mean, like I said, not starting off on a good note with systemic racism and then trying his hardest to figure out, do I stick around? You know, fought. You know, something that's not talked about a lot was Drew Brees cracked his ribs and punctured a lung. He had to fight back. That all happened this season. So, right. You know, with everything that he went through, I saw for the most part, you know, he fought and, you know, hey, man, the guy stood the test of time.
I think one of the things that it's going to be difficult, I guess, to overcome and look at as well, though, is the business aspect of this, Marlon. And the business aspect of it is the fact that, as Field Yates tweeted, the Saints right now, 276, 262, if Drew Brees retires, that's committed salary cap numbers. In 2020, the salary cap was 198.2. The projected cap's 175. I know Mickey Loomis and Kai have done a great job of finding ways to sign people and get them there, but that's about $100 million over the cap. So this team's not going to look the same next year.
It's not. You're going to lose a lot of guys. You have to think about that quarterback position. I mean, that's why it was important to go get Jameis Winston. I mean, he's a starting quarterback. And hey, Jameis had one big highlight yesterday, right? Made him a little money, getting some active time, a active play. But you know, to answer your question, Gus, it's a lot of those guys won't be there. I mean, you look at Alvin Kamara's contract. You look at DeMario Davis, who did his contract. But you have guys like Marcus Williams. This is his last year. It's time for him to get paid. You look at a guy, let's say Emmanuel Sanders, you have to pay him. You know, you just pay Michael Thomas all of that money. So the Saints need a quarterback. For all intents and purposes, that was Drew Brees' last game, as far as we know. Mm-hmm. So, looking at it from that perspective, Gus, I just think that I started the segment off, man. And you asked me that serious question, and I remember those questions like it was yesterday. Man, how is that day you lost the game and, you know, the locker room the day after, guys picking up and, you know, not going on to the next level, not being able to make it to the conference championship, not being able to make it to the Super Bowl. It's an emotional day. You know, for some guys, it's, hey, how can we reload? But for other set of guys, it's, hey, man, this is our last go-around. And you look at it like that, and the fact that they're over the cap the way that they are, they're going to have to make some moves and some adjustments. So, unfortunately, that was probably not just Drew Brees. May not have been the only guy, you know, we've seen in that black and gold.
As always, man, appreciate the time, Marlon. I will talk to you again later on this week, man. We'll preview, unfortunately, the NFC Championship game without the Saints and the AFC Championship game as well. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me, Goose, baby. Y'all have a good week. Hello, somebody.
There you go. See, Jordan, why don't you give me one of his catchphrases? It might make you feel better. Come on.
No.
Come on.
I'm not doing it.
Well, you heard him. And I like hearing it makes you feel better.
No, I'm not doing
Come
it.
Come on.
Not doing it.
Give me a hello, somebody.
Nope.
Oh.
Sorry, just not in the mood.
Will you be better tomorrow?
I'll try.
All right. Well, Jordan will give it a good effort. Matt Moscone, after further review, is up next. Let's see what he will tell us about. Big win, by the way, for LSU basketball over the weekend. They play Alabama tomorrow. We'll preview that as well. It's been a Sports Hangover. Thanks so much. And we move forward, right? We'll see you tomorrow right here at noon on your home for Pelicans basketball, where they take on the Jazz, ESPN New Orleans. Adios.